This week on Potlatch, Sadie Nyakuk of Barrel. This is the second program in a series of three featuring Sadie Brower Nyakuk. Shortly after statehood, she became magistrate for the Barrow area and served until her retirement this past summer. In this week's program, she recalls the federal government's attempts to enforce Western European concepts of justice on the Inupiaq people she served. Let's begin our program with this selection by Jackson Browne. That was Jackson Browne, now Sadie Nyakuk.
We started without even not knowing what a borough consists of. We were just given promises that we would be an independent group of people if we adopted this thing to become a North Slope borough. We'd be independent people living in it, doing the things we want, but we found that that's not so. We're still going by the state, even though we're given a land grant of certain amount. Within it, there are certain rules that govern it, rules and regulations in it that we have to abide by the state, made by the state. We're still a new, fairly new, still working on whatever systems, like the school, and everything in it, the powers that the city has can be turned over to the borough for a better situation, for a better, if the city within your borough cannot cope with a problem, then if they shove their powers over to the borough will decide what type of governing area rules and regulations can be applied to a certain power given, like that. There's so many, like, the city may have certain powers to govern your community. And if they fail in one of them, they can petition to have it adopted by the borough. Or the borough may petition to adopt certain powers to run your community fairly well. These are what we're running up against, and we don't find a ready solution. The solution is not there. We have to find it. And so it is all over this northern area. I think where natives are involved, we're being pushed into a white man's way of living. That's what I call it. No longer we'll class ourselves as a native group living apart from, you know, the civilized white man. They're civilizing us to the point where, even though they talk about going back to some of our own aboriginal or native ways, they're not going to push us back anymore, even though there are certain groups that think that we should go back to the old ways of governing our own way of living. We're educated people now. They've educated us to the point where we can't even speak our own language. Now they're so frustrated with whatever, they're going to teach it back, or we're trying to teach it back to our young people, and with whatever type of living. We can't ever go back to the old ways and be a backward group again. They've taught us to come forward and change our systems, our way of living, that if they think someday that they can push us back into the old civilized, uncivilized way of living, that's not going to work. It's not going to work. But we have to keep pushing forward to find a better way to solve our problems and abide by whatever rulings we come by. We're not a law-breaking group of people. We're easily led, I think. Most ethnic groups are easily led into certain type of living. It's a sad situation, but then we have to find solutions for it. Better living. We're not suffering by any means, but we miss the type of living we used to have. When I think about it, you know, where I disqualified myself last year from hearing any cases, that one of the Supreme Court judges asked me, I said, why, Mrs. Nieto? Well, these are my people, and I think it would be unfair for me to take a few that the Game Commission finds lawbreakers and bring them before me, and I have to do it. I have to do the deciding. I don't want it. I said, let the Game Commission bring their problem to someone higher. Let the courts decide what kind of living we should have if they can. And that was my main thought last year when I disqualified myself, because there was so much feeling among my people. They were so hungry for the caribou, and yet they couldn't go out and get it. And I knew in my mind the way the herds were so plentiful right behind us, some were taking it. And I was aware that, you know, if I was approached, I would be forced to tell the truth, like I've always done. The truth may hurt sometimes, but it's best on the long run to try and protect the rights of your people so that they are not violated to the point where they abuse. The law sometimes abuses our living up here. Like, if I were to sit in California, if I was to exchange places with a judge, a magistrate, a county judge of my level, I wouldn't know that person that they brought before me, and it would be easier to decide. But it's not that way up here. I know everybody in this community, and I know their character. I know what type of a person they are. And I can truly evaluate. I've been pointed as being the most lenient of all the magistrates here in Alaska. And my feeling on that, they asked me why I was pointed as such, and I said, well, I've been a social worker before. I was a social worker before I became a magistrate. And I think that has something to do with it, because if I'm being pointed as applying social work in my work as a judge, I said, it's because I want to get to the core of the problem that's causing it. Once I get to it, then it's easier for me to decide what to do with it. If I find that my people are not respecting whatever law is brought about, even though I explain it, then they take the consequence of being guilty without respect of law. That's where I have gone, you know. If I've given my people a chance to make good on whatever I give them, talking to them, making them fully understand what their rights are, and whatever the law contains upon conviction that they go, they don't respect it, they go right back into doing something, and they have no full excuse for it, then I'm like any other judge. I don't feel one bit sorry for that person who's just deliberately violating the law. But in my many years of being magistrate, I have got to find someone who will betray that, where they'll just deliberately go out and do whatever. There at one time when we had the Down Drunk in Public, that was where the city made quite a bit of money at one time because of fines. And then when I felt the fines weren't doing any punishing, I said, well, we're going to have a meeting of the town head. I said, the punishment, everybody's working and making good wages. There was quite a bit of construction then. and work up here, and every man, woman, and child, I think, was working for wages, available personnel, and finding them when they got picked up didn't do a darn bit of punishment. So I went to the council and said, how about putting them to work? Does the city have any labor level to where you can refer to my court? And you should see the result of that one. Some respectable young man or person who has never been seen cleaning your town or emptying garbage, if I place him for 1 week, I said, I'm going to sentence you to doing some cleaning. Oh, you're not going to see me out there. I said, it's either that or you sit in jail at the rate of $5 a day. And if you're willing to work, I said, you'll work it out. And I'll find whatever I may not consider what the state have as a rate for a person sentenced to work his fine off or be incarcerated. If he wants to work his fine off, okay, willing to work, that'll be done. And you know, it sure cut down quite a bit of some of the most offended law we had, because the fines weren't doing any good. People had all the money to pay their fine, go back next day, they're right back in court again. And then the waiver system for drunken public came on, that if you didn't cause any problems, then you got thrown in jail for just being drunk and not being able to take care of yourself. There was a waiver set by the state that we used for a little bit, to where that you would not hold the city or whoever responsible for whatever happened to you while you're in the care of the police or the state jail we had.
That song called Shelf. I got on the low. Iji got on the low. All the door who need. All the door who need. Ah, oh. I got on the low. Iji got on the low. All the door who need. All the door who need. Ah, oh. I got on the low. Iji got on the low. All the door for me, all the door for me. Ka, ka, do my ya ya ya. Pillow, 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 hey.
From Eskimo Point, Northwest Territories, as recorded in Barrow, Alaska, Charlie Panagoniak.
Finally, in 72, the state did away with this drunken public. And along with it, anything that might have alcohol-related disorderly conduct type done, you know, while you're drunk. And it has cut our crime rate way down. But because of the liquor stores opening in our community, that's another thing that's bringing our rate of crime up. It's the darn demon rum, as they call it. It's not the nature of the person to be a criminal, not a native at least anyway. It's just whatever that darn liquor will make him do. I don't know whether we're about the only people, maybe the only race that gets affected like that, but we sure sense it. It's sure making different people out of your native people, that darn demon rum. They're not the same kind. It takes their ambition, they'll spend their big money regardless of how much they earn. They'll spend it on liquor. And that's our main downfall. You'll have to have some people work on it to the point where maybe eventually they'll be able to, you know, cope with it, but it's a big problem. I blame it for some of the serious offenders. They're not repeated. They're get into one big trouble sometimes, lose their life, freezing, hurting, injuring. Another thing is burglary. Trying to gain in a small community, you can't win by burglarizing somebody, and it's so conspicuous that you can't hide from it. There's nowhere you can go out and take your loot. Somebody's bound to see it. So these are the types of offenses and problems we have now. That, like I say, I'm retired. I can talk about the things in hopes that maybe something should be done about it anyway. I've been asked many times. I've been conferences. I've been in between areas where I've been called to testify how the law works among my own people and what needs to be changed. That's why we have the Bush Justice Conferences, mainly to resolve problems, how to cope with them in areas where there's natives. So whatever my part has been, I hope I have done it well and set an example for some of the people that might govern with a feeling for your own good, because you're one of them. Welcome whoever might be of some help and solve and have the caliber to go out and search what type of a situation, a solution for it. You get so involved. I've been so involved because I guess I was one that had a chance to go out and educate, come back to a community and live in it and see the many faults and weaknesses your people have, the poor conditions before this base ever came up here. We were such a poor family. The people just lived on nothing but, you know, hunting. They had no money making except with their trapping. Then the base opened up, this Pet 4 opened up, gave work for everybody. Then the oil wells in the last few years, a large amount of money, wages, so on. So I guess Game Commission, when they say we're about the richest people up north, they can say it because of those things. But that doesn't mean that we can adjust ourselves to just white man's way of living, just go to the store and buy your stuff, because there's nothing there that will fill your appetite for caribou or fish or whale meat or whatever that they're trying to take away from us. You get so hungry for it, you just wish you could go out there and find it.
Goodbye, Joe, me gotta go. Me oh my, me gotta go for the pillow down the bow. My Yvonne, the sweetest one, me oh my, son of a gun, we're gonna have big fun on the bow. Jambalaya and a crawfish pie and a filet gumbo, cause tonight I'm share me, oh. Pick it hot, feel free, Josh, and the gale. Son of a gun, we're gonna have big fun on the bow. See the dough, phones ain't on, the place is buzzing. Kinfolk come to see Yvonne by the dozen.
music of White Haxton concludes this week's edition of Potlatch. This is Jeff Kennedy. Thanks for listening.
Potlatch came to you from KUAC in Fairbanks. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting gave some of the money to produce this program.
From the University of Alaska, this has been a KUAC production.